Shalom everyone, and we are reading this week Parashat Vayelech. Parashat Vayelech is being read on Shabbat Teshuvah. Most of the times, what is Shabbat Teshuvah? The Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What does it mean, Shabbat Teshuvah? Shabbat, you know, the simplistic, common translation, we explain it many times, means Shabbat of repentance. The real meaning, because Teshuvah is a very simple word in Hebrew, it means to return, the Shabbat of the return. Why the Shabbat of the return? Because these 10 days, this is the opportunity we have to return to our own authentic soul, divine, godly mission. And therefore, we said in Parashat Nitzavim last week, Nitzavim means you just assume position, assign yourself, or appear to the mission, and that's what Nitzavim is about. What is the mission? Hayom Hazeh, the day of Rosh Hashanah. So every day, we basically renew our vows, the vows that we accepted on Mount Sinai, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and we listen on Mount Sinai. This repeats itself every year on Rosh Hashanah, which means it's a renewal of the vows on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it is so, so important. So the whole time of from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, this is a time to be working on basically renewing our vows, or we can call it differently, and making our mission clear, to clarify our mission, to cleanse the message. Who am I? Who do I want to be? What do I want to become? What is my purpose in life? It's all about one thing: my relationship with the light, my relationship with the Creator, because there's nothing else. So what does it mean, the relationship with the Creator? So we read about it in the previous parashot, also in this parasha. It's all about us clarifying, cleansing the message, the idea that we're here to be the vessel to receive God's light, period. That's it. If you want to clarify and to solidify the message, it's very simple. We are the vessel for God's bliss. God is the source of the light, the source of light, the source of bliss. That bliss flows through the tree of life, through the emanations, and our job is to receive that light. Little catch, because we were created in the image of God, we cannot receive free gifts. We need to be involved in that receiving. So we need to recreate that situation of receiving the light, which means, as we said again, no free lunches. So how do we receive the light? By overcoming the obstacles. And these obstacles is all the emotional noise, all the mental noise, all the disruptions that we have around. One name for all of these disruptions, it is called Satan, or in English, Satan. Satan is a simple Hebrew word that means to disturb. So it's like all the disturbances, they are there for a purpose. They're not there to annoy us. They're not there to make our life hard or impossible. They are there to challenge us. So when we receive the enlightenment, we earned it, we generated it, we created it. This is in a nutshell. And we have to basically, on Rosh Hashanah, clarify the idea. Yes, we went through a tough year. And you know what? A tough life. Nobody has it easy and nice. Just wake up in the morning and everything is peaceful and nice, and no contradictions, and everything is really understood. You understand every human being around you. They never annoy you. They never push your buttons. They always do what you expect them to do. They're always nice to you. They accept you the way you are. They help you. They're always loving and caring. Yes, no, that's not call, that doesn't call life. Life is about the challenges. Without the challenges, there's no journey. Without the challenges, you cannot transform the darkness into light and feel you are the creator. You to feel, let there be light. Without the darkness, you don't have that opportunity. Why do we have a darkness? Every darkness we experience is for a purpose, to achieve light. Every hardship is for a purpose. And we know very well, a human being that does not have to face any hardships, everything comes easy, that does not create a happy life. Yes, we talk about it. We want world peace. We want peace and harmony. We want everybody to love each other. We don't understand why is it so hard. We always complain. This is the way it should be. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be tough, because if it's not sour and bitter, there's no value in experiencing the sweetness. If there's no, as many sages say, if there's no stupidity, how can you appreciate wisdom? If there's no pain, how can you experience the deliberation? If there's no slavery, how can you achieve and appreciate freedom? So you have to fight for your freedom. If you don't, you're not willing and ready to fight for your freedom, you don't deserve to hold on for it, to hold on your, for your, to your freedom, and you simply cannot have it. There are no vacuums in this world. Everywhere you have to fight for the good. Why? No free lunches, as I said before. So this parasha has only 30 verses. 30 is Lamed, the Hebrew letter Lamed. We had a big Lamed in Parashat Nitzavim yesterday on the reading of Parashat Nitzavim, on Shabbat Nitzavim, a big Lamed. The Lamed is the letter that, according to the Book of Formation, Sefer Yetzirah, the letter that generated the frequency that we experience as the month of Libra, Moznaim. Libra and Moznaim, the same word. Okay, Libra is in Latin, Moznaim is in Hebrew, which means the scales. But more than that, it's about the word Moznaim comes from the letters Aleph, Zayin, Nun, Ozen, an ear, and an ear is Bina. Bina means that level of the in the tree of life that symbolize for us the source of life, the source of what is good, the source of whatever is a is bliss. Bliss is about, in Hebrew, this is the upper blessing, ha-bracha ha-elyona, the upper blessing, and ha-brecha ha-elyona, the upper pool, reservoir of blessing. This is the pool of blessing we connect to on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore the Hebrew letter Lamed is also the only Hebrew letter of the 22 that really rises above the line. The only letter that rises above the line in the Hebrew biblical script, in the Stam script. Why? Because we have on this month the opportunity to rise to that place that A gives us our life, to connect to the source of life, and also to what brings us balance. Ozen, Izun. So an ear is where the balance organ sits. And that's also about balance, means that we have to balance ourselves in order to experience the flow of the light. So I spoke about it few times already. In our generation, it is very, very easy to understand because in our generation, we are totally dependent in networks. So there's a network of the network of electricity, of internet, cellulars, water, gas, sewage, roads, networks all over. It's like we all dependent terribly upon networks. We all know what happens when there's a blockage in one of the networks. Our life is coming to a halt. No electricity, no internet, no cellular network, no connection, no all of that, whatever I just mentioned, our life will become unbearable. Now there is another network, the network of the Tree of Life, which is the 10 emanations of the Tree of Life. And the same way we need to be online with these networks, we have to be online with that network, which is the most important of all of them. Okay, remember that. And that's why we need to celebrate these days from Rosh Hashanah till Simchat Torah, in which we reconnect to the Tree of Life network. The whole study of the Torah, the whole issue of the mitzvot, do's and don't do's, it's all about the same way every network has rules of do's and don't do's. We got used to it. We don't ask ourselves, how come we have to do this and this? How come we have to? That's the way it is. This is the network. That's how you tap into the network and stay online. You don't want to? Okay, you can disconnect from the network. You'll be punished severely, right? If you disconnect yourself from the electricity, from the from water, from cellular, from internet, you will be punished. What's the punishment? The void, the disconnection, the cut, being cut off. So your livelihood, your everything is running through these networks, including roads and whatever it includes. So here we have the spiritual network that we need to tap into, and what the Torah is about. How do we tap into this network? So when we read in this parasha, still Moses is preparing the Israelite nation for his departure. And therefore, he gives us some tips and guidelines. Of course, it is about connection to the network of the Tree of Life. So he speaks about the basic ideas and like words of encouragement, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, Chizku v'imtzu al tiru v'al ta'artzu mipneim. You'll have enemies, okay? Be strong, be brave, be courageous. Do not be afraid of them. Why? Because the Lord your God is the one who's walking with you. He won't leave you. He won't let go of you, which means there's a promise, which means the Creator is always with us. Now, the question is, how is it that many, many people can swear that God left them alone? That God simply not just left them alone, but also turned his back to them. So we have one of the most famous verses in the Torah about that. When it speaks about when, Moses is presenting the Israelites with the rules how to connect to the network. He gives them an exercise of 40 years how to do that. However, in Deuteronomy 31, 16, Vayomer Adonai el Moshe, and God says to Moses, Hincha shochev im avotecha vekam ha'am v'zanah acharei Elohei. You are going to depart with your ancestors, and this nation will rise and go after the idols in the land that he's coming there. and he will leave me. And he will go against the covenant. Why? The covenant is not easy. You have to fight. You have to have very high values in order to observe any covenant, especially the covenant with God. It cannot be easy. It cannot be simple. It has to be an ongoing fighting. And when they leave the covenant, they will basically leave God. Okay? So who leaves God? God will never leave you because he's never changing. Remember that. So it's the only one who can leave God is you and me. And when that happens, the word is Vehistarti panai mehem, verse 17, and I will hide my face from them. Now God is not doing anything, he's not changing. He's always nourishing every creature, every atom, every particle. It's all there just thanks to the ongoing flow of life that sustains every bit of part of the creation. But there is a concept that when we go away, when we disconnect from the network, then it looks like God is hiding his face from us. It's our experience. We think he left us. Basically, it's us who left him, which means, again, we think, oh, there's no electricity. There is electricity. There's a lot of electricity. However, because of misusing the network of electricity in your household, because of all kinds of mistakes, then the light goes off. It's not because the power company is not supplying with electricity anymore. Simply, your mistake, knowingly or not knowingly, created the short circuit and the power failure. So the power failure is not of the network, it's in the end user, which is me and you. It's us. Then what do we feel? Oh, there's no electricity. Okay, there is electricity. We cut it off. We mess it up. We blocked it through our misuse of the network. And therefore, we have to remember it again and again and again. From the point of view of the Creator, there's never change. His vow never change. His covenant never change on his side, on his part of the covenant. It's only our side that is fluctuating because we are in the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Once we are good, once we're evil. It's like, and when we are evil, we're simply offline. And then it feels like God is angry. However, the word vechara apibo, if you really know Kabbalah, you know that it means it's like there is kind of heated nose. Okay? What do I mean heated nose? But we know nose is the same way the ear is a symbol for, is a code word for Bina, the upper pool, the upper storage of the life force. The nose is the aqueduct through the light, the bliss flows through. So when that gets dried up, v'chara api, why is it dried up? Because of our blockages. V'azavtim v'istarti fanayim hem. So the Torah is, so the sages are asking, so why the Torah says that God is doing this, God is doing that, and the sages are saying the Torah speaks our language. The Torah speaks the language of humans. The Torah does not speak God's language. Why? Because the purpose of the Torah is to heal us, not to tell us what's happening with God. And whatever is being told to us, it's about what will help us understand what's really happening. So when we are feeling that God hid his face from us, that he's angry about us, that his nose is in fire, It's all symbolism that we have to reflect it upon ourselves. It's not that God is not watching us all the time. He does. The moment he stops watching us, we'll be not just dead, we'll be disexist. Not even one particle in our body will be in existence, will be void, nothing. We exist, every particle in our body, in our brain, in our thinking, exists only thanks to the ongoing flow of bliss and life force into each particle directly from God. Of course, through the system of the tree of life. However, we have the choice to be aware of it or to cut it off. And when we cut it off, it's called Hester Panim, V'Histerti Fanai Mehem, and I will hide my face from them. Okay? So, how do we feel? On our side, we feel that God is left us and deserted us. Okay? He didn't leave us, even for a moment. Okay? It's us that we blocked his presence into our consciousness and awareness. So that's called Hester Panim, the concealment of the face. Like in human beings, relationships, when you see somebody's face smiling happily to you, you feel warmth, you feel connection. When you see that somebody is turning his back to you, you feel that he is hiding his face because he's disgusted with you. He does not want any connection with you. It's all our own experience because, as we said again, God never changes. Never changes. His love is constant, infinite to all his creation. However, because that's what it says, when we cut ourselves off from his bliss, and we turn to other, how should I say, replacement. We try to replace God's presence in our life with something that we say is more, maybe exciting, more interesting, and so on. That's called addictions. How do you notice an addiction? Because addictions, that goes by the law of high and buy. It's connecting to the dark net. It's like very rewarding in the beginning, very painful later on. Any addiction, that's how it experiences. That's the experience. Could be drugs, could be any other addiction. Okay? What's the difference? There are people addicted to God. No, it's not an addiction. It's a connection. Why? How do you know it's not an addiction? Because there's no high and buy relationship. You connect to God, the more, the merrier. Okay? When we're talking about addictions, what is more is less. The more you have alcohol or drugs, the less happiness you can preserve for a long time. Very simple. So, why is that very important? It continues with verse 18, Va'anochi haster astir panai b'yom ahu. And now there's no grammatical structure like this that I know in English. Haster astir. It's like the same verb in two conjugations. Haster, I will hide. Astir, there's another grammatical way to say I will hide. It's the same shoresh. Both of them are supported, support each other, which means to strengthen. It's to say in the Kabbalistic term, this is Hester Kaful. It's a double concealment. Double concealment. And why? It says, Bayomo, al kol hara asher asabi, because of all the evil that any person created, because he turned to the other gods. What are the other gods? It's all addictions, which means the instant high, instant fulfillment. It looks like, like the commercials. It's like you pay today, you buy today, you pay only in a year from now. Okay, which means you buy today, you pay later. Meanwhile, you become a slave to all of these payments. So the same thing with addictions. You know it, that the alcohol or the drugs or any other addictions will give you an instant relief. But you know it is also for a very short time, and after that, it's going to turn even more painful. You know what we people do? We all sell our future for just an instant relief. Okay, in the Dark Ages, they said he sold his soul to the devil. But that's basically what it is. You pay with your future in order to have a very, very short present of illusional fulfillment. And humans are very weak and we all fall into it. Therefore, the sages explain to us that there are four levels of teshuva, four levels that we have to go through in generally in order to complete the teshuva journey. The lowest level is double concealment, haster astir. What does it mean? You feel God's back, which means you don't feel any connection with God, and you're in such a denial that you don't even realize that that's what you feel, which means this is about those people that are not even atheist. Okay? When you talk to them about God and about godly fulfillment and all of that, all of these issues of spiritual journey, they don't know what you're talking about. They're totally indifferent to it. They don't hate it. They don't like it. They simply don't feel that that's anything has anything to do with their lives. This is a double concealment. You don't see God's face. You're not connected to to God. You don't have any pain about it, and you're not even aware of it. It's not an issue. That's a double concealment. It's not an issue even. Why? Because the klipot, the dirt, the negativity those people accumulate, they're so heavy that you don't feel there's any relevance to anything of God. It doesn't upset you. Religion, belief systems, people's belief, it doesn't bother you. It's so blocked. It's like somebody who fell once into a muddy swamp, got out, then the mud dried out and became a thick layer. Then you fell again and then again and again and again. Now the layer is so thick and you're so used to it, you don't really realize there's anything outside and you don't miss the outside and you realize and you feel that. That's the way it should be. As Rabbi Ashlag explains, the commentator of the Zohar, it's like a worm that was born inside a radish and grew up in that radish. And the worm is so sure the whole universe is hard and cold and dark and bitter, and there's nothing but it. So it doesn't miss sunshine. It doesn't miss sweetness. It has nothing to do with that because it is total denial of anything beyond it because it got used to the radish it is growing, that it was born into and is growing into. Okay? So that's called a double concealment. And then happens that that person falls, and he falls such a hard fall. So painful, such a so painful, and so and the impact is so strong, and the shell breaks down. It's very painful. because things start to come in from the outside. And then that's only one concealment, which means you start to understand that there is something out there, but it is totally concealed. And you're in a very, very deep pain because you know there's something you're missing, but you're not really clearly aware of what is it that you're missing. So that's pain. That's a pain of one concealment. It means you know that you're missing something. You know that you are disconnected. You experience total torture of being disconnected. And that's the pains. It's called growing pains because these pains force you to fight, to look for a way to remove the darkness, to remove the shell that was developed around you, that blocks the light, that blocks life, that blocks everything you need away. You know you are blocked, you know that you're suffering, and that means you're starting to wake up. That's one concealment. If you really fight to do teshuva, which means you're looking for the source, you're looking for the origins of your soul. You learn consciously, logically, in spiritual studies, and you realize that your soul is divine, that your soul is godly, that your pain and darkness is self-inflicted, and you have to fight your way through. So you start to learn, you start to fight. You start to study, to meditate, to give charity, to help others, just to be aware because of how to fight, how to gain enough momentum to get out of that painful shell. And when you start to manage to get out of it, you start to feel the presence of the Creator. You start to feel the rules. You start to understand the rules. You start to begin to see that there's a plan. There's a feature. There's a program. You start to see God's fingerprints around, and you start to feel yirah, awe, because you study. Because you work on yourself, because you fight the darkness, because you can't stand the pain anymore. So that is teshuva out of awe, which means you start to understand there's something bigger, more powerful, and therefore you're starting to look for the rules. How should I behave in order to be able to be aligned with the invisible tree of life system? So you study, you learn, you meditate, you experience, you search. It's painful because you're still inside the darkness, you're still inside the shell. Little by little, you crack the shell more and more. You remove more and more from the shell, and you feel more and more awareness. Awareness that there are rules. And you basically go back to observe the connection for the tree of life. You know that you can get a speedy connection that is kind of fake connection through there are all kinds of things that give you an easy connection. And how do you know it's a fake? High and by. That connection was through the dark net. How do you know? It's always the morning after, and the syndrome that I sold my soul to the devil because it didn't make it better. It was just a temporary fulfillment. So you're looking, you're learning, and you're looking for the way to simply be aware of the real true connection, the real true connection to the tree of life, or of the infinite light. That's called teshuva, out of awe. You start to have to respect the rules, to respect the structure of the universe, to respect the creation and who created it. Why? The other option is unaccepted. It's too painful. You've been there, done that, you're not going back over there. So you fall back and forth, and that's a journey of most people. And that the same way they are double concealment, they are also double teshuva. The first teshuva, the first is a teshuva of awe. You start to understand that you have to have an awareness and you have to have respect for the rules of the universe, because that is respecting the creator who created them, who created the venue through which we can earn our way back. This teshuva is the first one. It's the first layer. On that layer, you are respectful, but sometimes you fall back. So you go, and so, but you're in an ongoing fight, you're aware of it, and the more wisdom you acquire, the more you are aware that everything you're going through, everything, every little bit, has to do with that journey to connect to your mission, being the vessel of the light of the Creator. The highest level is that out of fighting, you little by little, there's a wear and tear of the darkness, of the Satan. So that shell, as it becoming because of ongoing fight on your side, the shell becomes thinner and thinner, till finally it is so thin, you start to experience God with you. As it says, it says over here, we read it before, that God is with us all the time, but we don't feel that because we turn our back to Him and we think that He turned our back onto us. When the darkness, the negativity is getting thin enough, so a lot of light is starting to flow through it, we move to the next level of teshuva, which is teshuva out of love, which means we return to God's light because we love it so much. We can't love anything else. Whatever we see as good, we know, we feel, we are aware, it's only an extension of God. Otherwise, how could it be good? So we see God everywhere, not as rules, as pure, flowing, unlimited love. When we follow that, then of course we follow all the rules. We study everything, but that's out of love, not out of fear of missing up, and missing and disconnecting or making a mistake. Now we perform everything just to connect because we know we love the Creator so much because He loves us so much. We don't want to simply despise all and the abuse all the love that He keeps sending to us. So we allow Him to fulfill our vessel 24/7 out of love. This is teshuva out of love. We return to God not because we know there are rules and we have to follow the rules, and there's a presence and we have to follow that presence, and we know that it's so painful to fall off the network. Okay? We do it because we are so crazily in love with God's light and His presence, so we can't think about anything else. Only on the mitzvot, which means how to connect to God's light. So we see the mitzvot not as, oh, we have to obey. No, as opportunities to make God happy because He created us to use them in order to fulfill us. So is another opportunity to basically appease God, not that he's changing, but to do his will. What's his will? That I'll be happy. So you realize at that moment that being happy is the highest level of worshiping the Creator. Being happy out of love, not because you turn to something else to make you happy. Not wine, not drugs, not good food. Yeah, you enjoy it because God wants you to enjoy it. But it's not that. The food is the only by food I can be happy. No, I can be happy without food also. But if there's great food, I can be happy too with that. That's another way to experience God's bliss and happiness. But that's not the only thing. Okay, I hope you were getting it because it's a very hard work to do. And now the last verse really prepares us for Rosh Hashanah and the holidays. Verse 30, chapter 31. Vayedaber Moshe bozenei kol keal Yisrael. Moses speaks to the ears of all the congregation of Israel. Et divrei hashira zot of that song. Ad tumam, till its completion. Okay. That's already a song of itself. It's preparing us for the next parasha, Haazinu. Okay. Again, Haazinu, the source is Ozen, ear, connecting to the bliss coming from above. Okay. However, the Zohar has an amazing teaching to share with us about it. Okay. So it's speaking about the song, that the human, basically, the connection to God is through a song. Because we know that song has words, vowels, but the most important part of the song is the music, the tunes. And that's why it's called Shira. Without the tunes, it's not Shira. It's not a song. And here the Zohar says, verse 31 in Zohar HaSulam. So it says in, I think it is Psalms. No, this is the book of Samuel. Samuel 2, chapter 22. And God, and David's basically saying to God. We know that King David is a master of the singing Psalms of David. Okay, and why is it? We know that Moses, he reached that level of the song only on his last day. He doesn't talk about the song. Oh yes, there was a song on the Red Sea, but that was a result, and it was not only Moses, it was the whole nation. Okay. But here, Moses is coming up with that song. And the Zohar says that the praises of King David were from below to above. What does it mean from below to above? We spoke about the emanations, the tree of life. The tree of life is like, we have between God, the infinite light of God, we cannot sustain infinite light. We are very limited vessels. The law of affinity says that equalities attract. We cannot, as the sages say in the Talmud, we cannot directly connect to the infinite because we'll turn into dust, into nothing. Okay? We'll be consumed. Like any electric device that we have, any appliance we have at home, if we connect it to the high voltage electricity, poof. Okay, too much. the law of affinity. So therefore, when we want to connect through the tree of life, we have to climb the ladder. The singing is one of the most easiest, you know, to connect to godliness through singing in every religion. The moment you come to godliness, you start to sing. Okay? And especially here we have Moses reaching the peak of his life by singing, King David by singing. We have that also. The stories about the descendants of King David, the other kings in Jerusalem, that some of them said, oh, King David was singing, and just by singing, he would just sing and go for a war and he will win. We don't know how to fight, but we know how to sing. So by singing, they simply won the wars. Okay? So the singing is the way to connect to the upper world. That's why you see that the prayers of the holidays, the Torah reading, it's all with melodies. Some of them are ancient, some of them are very new. And you can see today in modern synagogues, the mixture of old tunes, later tunes. It's very rare that you come to the synagogue and somebody simply reads the prayers. You don't read the prayers. You sing them. You sing them. And the whole thing right now, it's like the more singing, the more the merrier, the more you connect, because it's hard to connect only through the words. And that's what the Zohar is saying. Now, but you need the words also. It's not enough just the singing. And here it says that we are talking about climbing up the ladder, and that's what the prayer is about. So then the Zohar continues with verse 33 and verse 33:4. And what the Zohar is teaching us, because I don't want to go to the every word, it's going to be too tough, because I want to make it short this time. But let's go to verse 34. משום זה צריך האדם לסדר שבח אדונו באותו הדרך. This is why every person should organize, put in order, the praises of his master through a certain order. Okay, that's called לסדר, to put it in order. How do you call the Hebrew prayer book? Sidur. The order, because the prayers, blessings, psalms, songs, all of them are put in order by people who knew how to build the code. They knew, those sages, thousands of years ago, they knew which song, which praise, which verse fit in which level. So we, through the prayers, we make the journey from below to above. Now, that people, they grew up in Jewish tradition, okay? And they used to go to the synagogue, and they used, since they were little kids, to pray from the Siddur, from the prayer book. From Sidur, as I said, it means the order. Okay? So you pray through it. And what's the problem? That many, many, many sages are screaming and yelling and crying about. You learn, you know, some people learn to read through the Sidur when they're 5, some when they're 7, 8, 13. Sometimes you learn it even later in life. What's the problem? You learn it as a child, and even when you're grown up, you continue to do it as a child in the same way. Are you shopping the same way? Are you spending money the same way as you spent money when you were 5? Are you treating your relationships as you treated them when you're 5? Your loves and hates, preferences, Are they the same like when you've been five? Of course not. So why did you stay a 5-year-old when you come to the synagogue? And he's saying, oh, I just want to feel like I felt with grandpa in the synagogue. This is so retarded. I'm sorry about the expression, but it is retarded. No, you're not reading words. I remember as a kid, I was reading the prayers and I was like thinking to myself, why does God need me to praise him for 2 hours every Shabbat morning? And on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's more hours and more hours. And sometimes it's like, it's too long. Much, much too long. And the answer is, you're not praising God. You are using the order. You're using the praises, the songs, the blessings to climb up the ladder of the tree of life. That's what you're doing. From below to above. So you're not really praising God, you're climbing up the ladder of awareness and consciousness to get closer and closer to the source of bliss. So it looks like you're really praising God's praises and honor, but you're really operating the well that draws its bliss, its water from the upper source, which is Bina, the real divine source of life and love and bliss and everything that is good. And then when you climb up from the bottom up, then you can draw from up downwards all the bliss. This is a technology. This is a system. Of course, you need to have the heart, the excitement, the happiness, and to have the awareness that you are tapping into the network of the tree of life so you can draw life from there to your soul, to your community, to your nation, to the whole world, because our prayers make a difference when we pray in that way. And we pray to connect up to the top of the tree of life and to draw from there all the light. And also through the blowing of the shofar. What is the blowing of the shofar? You take a tube. What is shofar? It's a ram's horn that you blow into, and that's symbolizing how God, the upper worlds, the source, blow the light into our souls. Remember in Genesis, we said if Rosh Hashanah, we return to Genesis, we return to the beginning. How did God give life to Adam? He blew it into his nostrils. Nostrils, these are the venules, the pipes. So this is just an elaborated way to say that God is blowing on Rosh Hashanah into the tubes, into the emanations, into the sefirot, into the network, and we simply have to basically climb up the ladder, clean the tubes by cleaning the negativity and the darkness and the remorse and regret and upset and guilt, and simply reconnect to the source of life. We have to climb up from the bottom up. These are the prayers in the prayers of Rosh Hashanah. You climb up from the bottom up. Every level that we climb, every prayer, every paragraph takes you another step upwards. And then when you connect it upwards, that's in the silent prayer. The silent prayer, the most important prayer, and you have it twice on Rosh Hashanah morning. One is the morning silent prayer, and one is Musaf, the additional silent prayer. Why additional? Because an additional light to capture. So when you climb up, to the source of the spring. And then your job is להמשיך ברכות לכל מעלה למטה. Now, after you climb up from below to above, through every chapter, every paragraph, now when you come to the silent prayer, okay, now you start to draw the light from above to below through your will. Through your will, through your desire, through your meditation of meditating, being aware that you're basically drawing God's bliss through all the network, through all the system. And while you draw it, you open up the tunnels, the tubes, especially with the blowing of the shofar. That, by the way, it's being done before the Musaf, the second silent prayer, during the silent prayer of Musaf, and during the repetition of Musaf. So that's where we draw all the light through the prayer and through the blowing of the shofar to clear the tunnels, the tubes, to clear the emanations, to clear all what is basically bringing in light into ourselves with happiness. And we are fortunate, we are happy, we are so proud to be God's vessels and finally allow Him to feed us with complete enlightenment. So that cleansing will get us closer to who we really are. To draw the blessing from above to below. And then you have to knot, to make the knot. Okay? It's like a wedding. Yes. Mount Sinai Revelation, Rosh Hashanah, wearing white. It's all about to reconnect, renew the vows. And then when we connect it with Emunah, when you connect with Amen and the Amen meditation, and you have the Amen meditation on our YouTube channel, okay? So, which is the connection between the Tetragrammaton and the Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. You could see it at the bottom of this video. At the bottom in the information, you can see the you'll have the link to this meditation. And so you can draw everything from above, making the knot, connecting everything. So it's everything going to be online, connected. Kesher shel emunah, the knot of emunah. Emunah, it's faith, connection, and the Amen meditation. Vezeu adam hamechabed shem Adono. When you do that, it is to show that you honor your master's name. Leyached Hashem HaKadosh, to unify the holy name. Ve'al ken katuv ki mechabdai achabed, ki mechabdai ba'olam hazeh achabed ba'olam haba. When we respect that connection, this meditation I spoke about, and you realize it's all about that meditation of connecting the heaven and the earth, what does it mean? Basically activating the connection to the tree of life on Rosh Hashanah, so it will be active as much as possible through the year. And the more active it is on Rosh Hashanah, we activate it, the more active the connection will be through the year, which means the more blissful our life will be, the more awareness of the presence of God in everything we do we'll have. That will give us, of course, a lot of courage, a lot of perseverance, a lot of resilience, faith, emunah, connection, bliss, and everything that comes with it. That's why God says, "Ki mechabdai achabed," I will honor the ones who honor me. This verse is from The book of Samuel, 1, chapter 2. I will honor the one who honor me, because I will honor them in this world and in the world to come. But again, in Hebrew, it's not the world to come, it's the world that is coming. In English, it says the world to come. Okay, there will be something in the future. In Hebrew, it's Olam Haba. It's the world that is coming in present continuous. It's ongoingly coming, which means from God's point of view, it's coming all the time. The question, do we say welcome? Do we welcome it into our lives? But then that verse continues, Uvozai Yekalo. Simple translation, and whoever despises me will be cursed. And the Zohar is asking, what does it mean, the one who despises me will be cursed? And he answers, Zehu mi she'ino yodea liyached Hashem HaKadosh, whoever does not know how to meditate, to connect the holy name to the letters of the holy names, to bring the light through the tree of life, and to make the knot of Emunah, connecting the Yud and the Aleph, the Hey and the Dalet, the Vav and the Nun, the Hey and the Yud, like in the meditation that is in the link. When you don't know how to do that, you don't know how to do it when you say Amen. When you climb up the Sefirot from Hey to Vav to Hey and Yud, that's the other meditation. To draw the light from the Yud to the Hey, from the Vav to the Hey, and to yourself. If you do not know how to draw the blessings, and you do not honor God's name, and whoever does not know how to honor God's name, which means how to activate it, to use that magic, how to draw that life into your life and into the whole world, you're not really respecting. And that's what it says, and all whoever despise me. It's like, oh, that's not important. Why should I meditate? I just have to make the prayers. That's what my rabbi said. You don't need to do anything more than that. No, you're not 5 years old anymore. You're not a little bar mitzvah boy that simply has no idea what he's saying. He's just reading the words. Grow up. You have a brain. Activate it. Get it into work for you. Get the code. When you do that, and you activate simply as what just I said today, it is meaningful. You have a connection. You know you're there making a connection. Then, what does it mean? And whoever does not respect me is cursed. The Zohar explained, it's not cursed. It's like yekalu. It's a double meaning. Yekalu comes from the shoresh kal, kalil, which means light, being light, taking things not seriously. Oh, this is nothing. This is not really serious. But it's the same as klala, a curse, which means when you take it lightly, you basically curse yourself. Why? The Zohar says if you do not really take it seriously, you think it's a tradition, you know, tradition, tradition. It's all about tradition. Our forefathers did it, their fathers did it. We just keep the tradition because it's important. What? For what? It's not a tradition. It is the magic of connecting to God's bliss and bringing it to the world. So the whole world enjoys it, not just yourself. If you take it with a light-headed, then it becomes a curse. And then the Zohar says, whoever does not know how to respect, because you don't know what does it mean, because you don't want to care for it, simply take it as tradition. That's okay. God loves me anyway. And if not, I don't know. Then it becomes a curse. And then it says, whoever does not know how to honor the name of his master, Tov lo shelo nivra ba'olam. It's better he was not created in the first place. It's better he was dead, because why? He's in a double concealment. He goes through suffering after suffering. Okay? He curses the whole world. He curses bad luck. He's why trying to invent all kinds of ideas. And then he goes into communism and fascism and Nazism and all kinds of isms that he thinks that will redeem humanity. And he doesn't get it. He's in double concealment, continues to suffer without even being acknowledging that he's suffering. And when you suffer, you don't think there's anything with God about it because you don't miss it, because you're so blocked. Only after you fall so many times and the blockage breaks and crashes, you start to miss the Creator. And then the road back, you have to overcome, cleanse all the negativities you created by being angry, by being frustrated, by blaming others. So that's what we have on Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur and Shabbat Vayelech. It's all about singing the song, meditating the meditation, being part that the meditation is a song and the song is a meditation. And the prayer and this blowing of the shofar, it's all part of the great song of basically rewriting our destiny the whole year. Shana Tova. Metuka, a happy, good, and sweet year, so we can sweeten all the judgments. Thank you so much, and see you next year. Shana Tova.